141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen Gerrard's hoping to cash in on home advantage and push towards the title. Ismaila Soro's move to Celtic is getting closer, according to Neil Lennon, and managers across the Premiership offer their support to Aki's boss Brian Rice. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Roger Hanna.
Would you believe, Gordon, 23 days since the Premiership went into its winter break. We would plenty to talk about in that little period, I think, thanks to the Old Firm game on the 29th of December. But we're now just 24 hours from the restart. Celtic at Kilmarnock, Rangers at home to St Mirren. The title race is on. Let battle commence.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Gordon. All kicks off again for the league campaign tomorrow night. A lot of interesting games. Looking at the two top teams, Celtic and Rangers, just now, you would probably say that on paper, no disrespect to St Mirren, I think Celtic have got the most difficult one.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight. If you would rather tweet, you can find us at ClydeSSB. So don't hang around, get in nice and early. Give us all your thoughts ahead of the Premiership returning tomorrow night. What about this title race then? Surely the run-in starts now. It might be a long run-in, but it definitely starts with the return of the top flight action. So give us all your thoughts. Who's in the driving seat? Who's not? Who's going to be facing the most difficult task over the coming weeks? What about the transfer window as well? Because that's the other thing, Roger. It's all set against the backdrop of the transfer window at the moment. And then it perhaps doesn't seem like there's going to be a great deal of business done at Rangers. Celtic maybe one or two more. But as these weeks go by, if you get another couple of difficult games, the cries for more reinforcements will just get louder.
Yeah, and there's still 10 days to go in January. We've said before on the show, everything just seems to get squeezed into the last 24-48 hours. I agree. I think there'll be more done by Celtic. Ismaila Soro will come in the next few days once a work permit is sorted. I'm not sure that'll be the end of the business at Celtic Park either. And will Rangers, having now managed to offload a few more players, will there be one coming in?
It's going to be amazing, Gordon, as well, because weeks of fans and pundits and players alike just sort of sitting back and waiting. That's all you can do. And clearly Rangers go into the break with the momentum, whatever you want to call it, that comes out of the game against Celtic just before the break. But it's going to be fascinating to see how quickly they either build on that or actually it could be wiped out very soon. And it's all been intensifying over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of games coming up. I think if you're a supporter, the minute the window opens, Gordon, you're not really interested in who's leaving your club. You're more interested in who's coming in to strengthen the team, to strengthen the squad. I'm not surprised Rangers haven't, you know, they're not doing a lot of business in the transfer market. I think they've got most positions covered. I think the talk was about Tavernier, who would cover for him. But young Patterson seems to have come in and is doing very well, and Steven Gerrard talks very highly of him for cover at right back. They've got Flanagan there as well. I still think, I know that Alec was saying on Saturday about the centre forward situation, especially Morelos being suspended. Defoe's 38 now. You know, he's a great stand-in, he can score goals. I was looking at, would they look at another striker just to make sure a bit of safety there? I know Alec touched on the fact that Greg Stewart could go and play in that role. So I don't see Rangers doing a lot of business. I certainly do see Celtic doing a bit more.
Right, this is your chance to have your say on the return of the Premiership, so don't hang around. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. What about the next block of fixtures then? We've got between now and May. Let's divide it up a little bit. What about the next few weeks? Let's take that as a block. How crucial do you think the next set of fixtures is going to be, and what do you think lies ahead for your team, especially with the difference in the home and away split of the fixtures? Steven Gerrard says they'll be looking to make home advantage count. Four of their next five games are at Ibrox. He also says they're at their best when they have a packed fixture schedule.
I think that's the plan. I think we obviously had the opposite in terms of fixtures before the break, where a lot of the games were away, a lot of tough fixtures. We had a 6-week block where it felt like we were away for the majority of it, so that turns now, and we need to try and make the most of Ibrox. We're certainly going to need our fans to get behind us and make some noise, and hopefully we can get right back into our rhythm and build on the last league performance. No, I think it's the next international break, and then if we go and perform like we're capable of against Braga, we could have more fixtures in the pipeline as well, and Hamilton as well, because now we've been drawn against them in the cup. So, but it's what we're used to, and I think that's when we're at our best. You know, this squad proved that it can cope with a lot of fixtures in a short space of time. You know, it's an exciting time. The players look ready, and I'm really looking forward to see how we perform tomorrow.
Rangers have 4 out of the next 5 games at home. I think Celtic, 4 of their next 5 league games are away. Does it matter? I mean, obviously it balances itself out over the season.
But this argument for years.
But in terms of right now, in terms of momentum or whatever you want to call it, how important might it be?
Well, we spoke at the start of December that with the fixtures that Rangers face in that month, you know, away to Motherwell, away to Hibs, away to Aberdeen, away to Celtic, and we said if they were still in touch with Celtic, you know, by the end of the winter break, they'd be doing really well and would be a title race on. And I think they took 10 points from 12 in those away games, dropped a couple of points up at Pittodrie, won at Celtic Park, and are now in a position where they're only 2 behind, they have a game in hand, and they have this run of 4 out the next 5 at Ibrox. What they need to do is what they didn't do 12 months ago, Gordon, and build on a good finish before the winter break. They went to Kilmarnock in a midweek tie, lost when Jordan Jones scored the winning goal at Rugby Park, and things just unravelled from there. If Rangers are going to win this championship, this is the time for them to build on what they did in December.
Right here now, Roger, I would, and I think you would agree, I'd much rather be sitting with the 4 out of 5 at home.
I mean, you'd have to, wouldn't you? That's not unique to Celtic or Rangers. Just teams tend to prefer playing at home.
100%, especially the way that Rangers go about their business at Ibrox. I know that they didn't have the greatest performance in the cup against Stranraer, but they had a lot of the big hitters out of the team. I think it'll be different tomorrow night against St Mirren. I've said from the start of the season, Gordon, when I watched the 2 at Ibrox Celtic Park, only team for me, each other can beat each other at home. That's the only ones. I've never sat at Ibrox, I've never sat at Celtic Park, unless it was Rangers or Celtic, and thought it could be an upset here today, they could lose at home. So 4 out of 5, I expect Rangers to win the 4 games at home, and I think it'll be what happens on the road.
0141 951 1025 to have your say. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Let's kick off with Jason in Paisley. Jason, do you pay much attention to the way the fixtures fall in the coming weeks, or do you take a more laid back approach and think it all balances itself out in the end? Oh, he's just disappeared right on cue. Perfect. Well, terrible timing. Jason and Paisley, will try and get him back. But yeah, that is what's coming up. Obviously Celtic going to Kilmarnock tomorrow night, Rangers at home to St Mirren, Celtic face away trips to St Johnstone, Hamilton, Motherwell, Clyde as well. But of course we were talking really Premiership fixtures.
Just going on to the point, as I said this for weeks and months at the start of the season, Rangers and Celtic were so superior to the rest that they, you know, they wouldn't drop any points at home. I haven't really dropped very many away. You know, Celtic had that slip up at Livingston. Other than that, they've been very good on the road. There's not really any reason to believe that they won't win all of those games that you've just quoted there,
Gordon. Sure. Let's hear a bit more from Stephen Gerrard where we try and get Jason and Paisley back. If not, why don't you give us a call? 01419511025. He says they didn't want to recall Robbie McCrory from Queen of the South, but the opportunity for regular Premiership football was too good to turn down. He's set to join, well, he is joining Livingston on loan until the end of the season. Gerrard says he can make his mark at Rangers if he continues his progress.
There's an opportunity for him to play in the Premier League, which is a situation where we don't really want to do what we have to do, but we have to for the sake of the boy, because it'll be brilliant for his development to play in the Premier League. I think you've got to pay credit to Robbie for going to Queen of the South and playing ever so well, but also Queen of the South for the job they've done and the opportunity they've given, and we really, really respect that. And it's not something that we want to do by taking a keeper off someone, but when the kid gets the opportunity to play a league above and with all due respect, better himself and develop and get that chance to play in the Premier League, it probably gives him a better chance of coming back here and playing for Rangers. So for the kid, it's a no-brainer. Slightly awkward for us because we don't want to let anyone down. You know, and Queen of the South probably think they've got Robbie for the full year. But we have to sort of forget about all that and think what's best for the kid, for the boy himself. And it's too good an opportunity for him to turn down. I think both McCrory brothers, two model professionals of the game, finding the way in different stages of their career. But if Robbie keeps progressing and developing the way he is and at the speed that he is, I've got no doubt that at the right time he can come back here and affect the two main positions for the goalkeeping situation.
Charlie's on the line. He's a Rangers fan. Are you looking forward to the return of the top flight, Charlie?
Oh, I'm definitely looking forward to it. But hopefully, I'm looking forward to explaining a bit better than we did on Friday night. We're a lot better. As far as I'm concerned, every one of the players that was on Friday night, except for the young boy, young Nathan Patterson, that's the only man who would give you a start to, because 7 years out, as you know. I'm just hoping that we can get an early goal and hit the ground running and put a marker back down again, because that other night there, I couldn't believe it, you know, the way we played.
Well, you need to, Charlie, you need to give a start to Defoe, because he'll come in, obviously, Morella suspended. You had Ryan Jack captain the team the other night there, so he'll certainly play. Davis certainly play. Yeah, I think that the Rangers fans getting along there, and they went along there in big numbers against Sunrise, you've got to say, on Friday night, and they were expecting to probably score more goals, be more entertained. Even the Rangers manager came out and confessed he was bored. I totally agree with him. I was bored. He's been honest, and I like that about the Rangers manager, Steven Gerrard. I think he comes out and just says it as it is. But I think it'll be a different Rangers tomorrow night, especially with the league campaign, what's at stake, and a full house at Ibrox. So I'd expect a far better performance from Rangers tomorrow night against St Man.
And it wasn't just Rangers that looked sluggish coming out of the winter break. You know, Celtic only won 2-1 at Fir Hill the following evening. Hibs drew, Ross County lost. Aberdeen needed a penalty 4 minutes for the end to win at home to Dumbarton. So sometimes that happens. If you've been out, you haven't had any competitive action for 3 weeks or so, you can look sluggish when you start again. I think they've got a lot of the cobwebs away on Friday night against Stranraer, and I think, Charlie, you will see a different Rangers against St Mirren at Ibrox tomorrow night.
Charlie, how do you feel about this run of fixtures, most of them being at home? Because of course you only have to go back to this time last year when there was a conference amongst the Rangers fans. They came right back out after the winter break, they lost, and Roger described it as being an unravelling from there. How important is the next couple of weeks?
I think it's very important. The thing is, I was on at the beginning of the season, and I was on about the teams were to play at the start of the season, all the away games we had. So as Gerard said, it's turned all round about now. And this time, as I say, with the crowd, I believe that, as I say, we need to play better, because it was like watching Rangers. As I said the other night, it was like watching Rangers away back in 2016 with the same kind of team that was on the park.
Charlie, do you agree?
Halliday was there. He was one of the original ones that started in 2016 in the cabin here. But I don't think there were any other. Well, Florian, the goalkeeper, three players that was originally in that team. And the changes, and Gordon Dale's talking about, I'm not talking about the major players, I'm not talking about the phone. Well, obviously, they've got to play.
You're talking about the fringe players, Charlie?
Yes, I'm talking about the fringe players, I'm talking about them. I'm not. But as I did say, I give full marks to the young guy. Mm-hmm. Young guy, as I say, is looking good. He looks good. He's kind of lanky kind of thing. He needs to fall out a wee bit, you know, before he can come to finish physical the thing with article, you know what I mean? But I think he'll turn into a really good player, that laddie. I was watching for the side, you know what I'm saying? He looks really good, that guy.
Charlie, do you agree with me now that these fixtures even themselves out across the season?
Well, you might remember me coming over the season and saying that, you know, because I was going out when I heard all these home game, away games, you know, what are we doing here, man? You're not going to be about 8 points behind before we start here, you know. But we came out and we done what a job had today, and you were staying there, we managed to get these away ones and that. The only one was against Aberdeen, the draw. But things are looking good, and the old saying is, if we keep winning, well, we keep winning, we win the league.
Jason and Paisley were struggling to get back, Gordon, but I can tell you what he was going to ask. He was going to ask if Nathan Patterson will get played more. Would you put him straight back in tomorrow? That wouldn't be a surprise, would it?
No. He's got the option. You know, you've got players there like Flanagan that can play right back. But I think Patterson deserves his opportunity. I think the Rangers manager likes to promote from the youth. And if the lad goes in and shows that he's capable of handling the situation, I think he goes with him again. I think he'll have every confidence in him. But what I will say, and I know Rangers fans, there's quite a few out there, will be thinking, well, I hope the lad keeps playing very well so we can keep the captain Tavernier out of the team. Well, the minute Tavernier's fit, Tavernier will be back into that side. And Patterson, I think the experience, a few games under his belt, I think it'll do him the world of good. And he's obviously looks like one for the future.
Is it a thought to play Flanagan, given that you probably need to play Flanagan at Tynecastle on Sunday?
I totally understand what you're saying, Roger, but I think that the Rangers manager will go with Patterson on his performances. He was happy with him over in Dubai. I know it was a bounce game. He was happy with him on Friday night in the Cup. So the lad's doing everything possible to stay in the team. And if he goes out and plays against St Mirren, you're not telling me that you can't go to Tynecastle and handle playing against what I would probably call a very poor heart side at Tynecastle on Sunday.
Understandably, Roger, it's the madness of the title race. It's the top flight. It's the here and now that's going to take everyone's attention. But there's always room to be mindful of this sort of forward planning. Robbie McCrory getting sent out on loan to Livingston. He's been on loan at Queen of the South. I mean, we understand that even the likes of Hearts and Hibs were sort of sniffing around permanent deals, but Rangers only entertaining loan offers, and it perhaps tells you what they think of him going forward.
Yeah, Stephen Gerrard said that there in the audio, Gordon. I think the two Old Firm teams, Rangers and Celtic, have two very promising young goalkeepers. Robbie McCrory at Rangers, Ross Doohan at Celtic. Both are secured in longer term deals, and both have been sent out to the Championship this season. McCrory's played for Queen of the South, Doohan still playing at Ayr United. Scott Gemmell rotates the two of them in the Scotland under 21 team, and I think both clubs have high hopes for these young goalkeepers. They're not yet at the level of Alan McGregor or Fraser Forster, but the hope, as Stephen Gerrard said, and it would be the same if you were to listen to Neil Lennon and Stevie Woods at Celtic, the hope for Doohan, just like Rangers, the hope for McCrory, is that one day they will be ready to take the gloves in the first team.
Celtic fans, ideal time for you to get in touch, because we're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then we're going to hear from Neil Lennon. He's got an update for you on the potential signing of Ismaila Sorrow. We'll give you that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are on the phones as well as Twitter at Clyde SSB. Lots of people getting in touch over the last couple of nights, liking what they saw from Nathan Patterson, hoping he gets a run in the team starting tomorrow. Stephen's got an alternative view though. He's surprised at the reaction of his fellow Rangers fans over Nathan Patterson. He says he looks years away from being a decent option. I know people want us to bring in someone through, but he's the fourth choice right back for me, says Stephen at the moment. So he's keeping his expectations in check. It's 01419511025 on the phones. Let's hear a bit from Neil Lennon. Celtic fans, what do you make of what he has to say? He's hopeful Ismaila Sorrow's move to Celtic will be finalised this week. He is keen to make the 21-year-old midfielder his second January signing, but he did always know that it would take a bit of time.
He's doing his medicals at the minute, so that takes a day or two. You know, they have to do things by, it's governed by the Israeli sort of council or FA, so it's a day-to-day thing. So they do the bloods, they do the medicals, so that's ongoing at the minute. Well, he can't come into the country yet.
Because he can't get his visa.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, so yeah. Once that is all agreed, then...
And how long will it take to get the visa?
I don't know. Hopefully not so long, a few days maybe, and we can get him over here and get him cracking.
So, I mean, it's happening, Roger. We've sort of known that for a while, but it's happening, and it's happening soon, is the message we're getting from Neil Lennon.
Yeah, I can never understand quite why these things take so long. You know, there should be a fast-track process of getting visas for, you know, when there's so much money involved in these transfer dealings. Neil Lennon will want Sorrow in as quickly as possible. There's still a few injuries around about that Celtic squad, so they'll want to, as Neil says, get him cracking as quickly as they possibly can.
Yeah, I'm sure all Celtic fans are excited to see what he's going to bring, Gordon. I'm a little bit surprised, I think, that Celtic look, you know, comfortable in that area. They've got a lot of players in competing for positions. I like the fact that one of my favourite players, Tom Rogic, come back at the weekend. Thought he looked very good. I think he's a big player. If he can get him back to his best, he would be massive for Celtic. You're getting Cham in there, you get McGregor, you've got obviously Christie when he comes back as well. You've got Brown. you've got really a lot of options in there. But obviously Celtic, he ticks all the boxes for them, and they see him adding a bit of strength to the squad.
Dennis is a Celtic fan from Easterhouse. What's on your mind tonight, Dennis?
Hi guys, it's for Gordon and Roger Hanna.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to assure Charlie there that these fixtures even are self-out. That's a nonsense. Complete nonsense. If the top six stays the way it is now, then Rangers, after the split, would have five away games, and Celtic would have five home games. Now, there is no way in the world that the SPFL are going to allow that. You know it, I know it, and everybody else knows it. So there'll be no parity in that.
Roger Hanna's shaking his head at you, Dennis.
The way the rules work, Dennis, is after the split, regardless of who they've played in the previous 33 games, the maximum any team's allowed is three at home and two away, or two at home and three away. So what it would mean...
Right. So that means that two of the teams that Rangers should play away, they will now play three times at Ibrox.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, that's so absolutely
that,
right.
That's no even in itself. It.
Yeah, that is a fair point, Dennis. When I say that, I wasn't meaning to be 100% accurate. What I mean is, by and large, generally, and I know you've thrown up a potential anomaly, but generally, you play the same amount of games at home and away, give or take one. At the most two. That's all I mean.
They will ensure that Rangers and Celtic each play 19 at home and 19 away.
Yeah, and in that respect, Dennis, is what I meant about evening itself out.
Well, Celtic have played 20 away or 20 at home. Not the first time it's happened. It happens nearly every year.
But also, Dennis, is that not... No, it doesn't, Dennis. Every year there is usually one or two slight anomalies, one or two slight exceptions, but it doesn't happen every year.
What the SPFL try to do in that instance is, if one team is going to be ending up playing 18 at home and 20 away or vice versa, they try and make sure it's a team with nothing to play for. You know, if the league was going to split just now, I think Livingston are sixth in the league. Livingston would probably be the team that would have an imbalance in fixtures. In the bottom half, there's teams fighting to stay up, so it would probably be the team that finished seventh, Kilmarnock, say, who would have an imbalance in fixtures, rather than a Hearts or a Hamilton that would make sure, you know, they had 19 at home and 19 away.
Anyway, it's a bit difficult to forecast because we've got until April, and the makeup of the top and bottom six can definitely change between now and then. So let's not look too far ahead in that respect. Dennis, what about your own team from a Celtic fan's perspective? What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow and the return of the Premiership?
Well, I'm quite happy. The only thing that bothers me, we're not scoring enough goals, and we seem to be getting each other's way up front. In fact, the other night the referee got in our way a few times. I don't know how many times he stood in front of the players and they were trying to put a ball through, but I think we play too passing the ball about up front in front of goal.
Are you basing this, Dennis, on the number of chances that you feel Celtic are passing up? I mean, if you look at the table, I think Celtic have scored more than Rangers have at home. Rangers have scored more than Celtic have away from home. But I mean, Celtic do still clearly score a lot of goals. How many more do you want? Is that what you mean, that there are chances within games you feel should be taken?
Oh, I seen a tweet today that Celtic had something like 70 odd shots in the last four games and we've scored seven goals. You know, but the thing is, I just felt the other night that you know, we're passing the ball from side to side. You're going from one wing to the other wing. And if you've seen it, you've seen with the second goal, McGregor takes a shot, taking outside the box, at the edge of the box, and gets something with it.
I mean, Gordon, it really depends what you're basing it on. I would totally respect Dennis or any other Celtic fan who watches every game and believes that they should be converting more of their chances. From a more simplistic viewpoint, Celtic have scored 55 goals in 20 league games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sounds okay.
If I was a Celtic manager, it would not be on my list of worrying about it, Gordon. I think they've got enough fire.
Having said that, though, is there a case for being more ruthless?
Of course you can, but they create so many chances. You're not going to score every single chance. And some of those chances you see on the stats, maybe with shots that are easy for a goalkeeper to save and it gets put up there. What I will say to Dennis is, he's talking about going side to side. Sometimes when you're Celtic or you're Rangers, the one thing a team against you will do is try and make it as difficult as possible for Celtic or Rangers to play through. Let's talk about Celtic. to play through the middle, because if they get Edward through and 1-1 the goalkeeper, they get a Griffiths through there, they get a Christie through there, then 9 out of 10 it usually ends up in the back of the net. So what they'll do is try and force you down the side, wait for the ball to come in and try and defend the cross. So it's a tactic that other teams use very, very well indeed. So they make it as difficult as they can for Celtic. But I just think with the power that Celtic have got up front and the quality they've got in the middle of the park, I would not be concerned about that.
Celtic fans, here's the injury update. Mikey Johnson and Christopher Ayer look set to return tomorrow. James Forrest and Nir Beaton look like they will miss out. And Ryan Christie is, of course, suspended. So take that into account. Tell us what your team would look like tomorrow. 01419511025. It is away at Kilmarnock. Neil Lennon says anyone suggesting the title defence is in doubt after the Old Firm defeat needs to calm down.
It's very premature, yeah. Still looking at the league table, I think we're still top of the league, even though they have a game in hand and we've won the cup, and up until then we've won 12 games in a row. So, you know, we're very positive about the second half of the season. So look, I can't control what other people think. You expect it sometimes off the back of a defeat, but a lot of people, you know, over the years have been proven wrong.
Either way, do you think that winter break has an impact on the perception of the title race, the way people on both sides feel about it? Because whatever the outcome, whether it was a good one or a bad one for you in the 29th, you've had over 2 weeks to dwell on it. The high has lasted
you've
for
over
2 weeks.
3 weeks.
Sorry, three, yeah,
23 days. I alluded to that at the top of the show.
So, you know, the high for the Rangers fans has lasted 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The eagerness to get back and put it right for the Celtic fans has lasted three weeks. It's quite a strange position to be in.
Listen, the result and every aspect of the game has been magnified like never before, because there has been 23 days since the game. Now, ordinarily, if Rangers had gone to Celtic Park and won on the Sunday lunchtime, both teams might well have had games on the Wednesday night. Something else would have happened and the agenda would have moved on, Gordon. We've waited over 3 weeks now, and the agenda, a lot of the calls to this show are still about, you're touching it there, Ryan Christie's suspension, the charges that were laid at Rangers, you know, all of the different feelings among the supporters as to how their team is going to approach the second half of the season. So everything has been magnified since December the 29th, and I think it's good for everybody that come tomorrow night, both teams can move on and the title race will develop another step.
What might that Celtic team look like tomorrow, Gordon, with the option of Christopher Ayer and Mikey Johnson, but no option of James Forrest or Nir Beaton? Or Ryan Christie, but
yeah,
we knew that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think with Ayer coming back in, and I think he certainly will come back into the starting 11, Gordon, it's who's going to partner him at the back. Simunovic, I thought, when he came on, looked okay against Partick Thistle. And I've got to say, Julian, he's sort of he divides my opinion about him a little bit. One week I see him, I think, that looks a very, you know, comfortable, top-class football player. And then the following week you watch him and you think, there's a mistake just waiting to happen here. And I think that showed against Partick. I'll be very interested to see what Neil Lennon goes with tomorrow night in defence. I think most of middle to front may be the same. Will he stick with the two up top with Griffiths and Edward, with the diamond in the middle of the park? I think he probably would. It gives him a bit more firepower. I just think Celtic will have to. I know it's going to be a difficult game, always is, going down to Rugby Park. I know they got a good result at the weekend, but their form up until then was quite poor. And I think Celtic will have far too much for them tomorrow night. But the team selection for me will be interesting, and I think all eyes will be on who he puts his partnership at the back, two centre-halves.
I think we'll just be Julian and Ayer. I only see one change really from the side that played it for Hull at the weekend. I expect, as you say, Beaton out, Ayer back in. I think the diamond in midfield will stay. I think Griffiths will stay up front with Edward. I don't really see much point in putting Lee Griffiths in for one game. He scores a goal and then you take him back out the team. There's no Christie there, there's no Forrest there, as you say. There's still no El Yunusi there either. I don't think Klamala's quite ready to be starting. So I think it'll be a simple one in, one out.
Understandably, Gordon, you said you fancy Celtic to win. I don't think there would be... That's a hugely controversial statement. They clearly go into most games as favourites. If you were to handpick it as a fixture though, to return, you probably wouldn't go away to Rugby Park, would you?
Only because of I don't think a lot of the teams, it's well documented, like the surface, Gordon. As a stadium, as a place, it's a decent enough place to go. There's worse places in the Premier League and Rugby Park, let me say. The pitch obviously plays a big part in it, but I just think with the break, everything about it, Celtic getting that victory at the weekend there, getting the rustiness out of them, changing their formation a little bit. Tom Rogic, I thought, showed good form as well. And Lee Griffiths getting the confidence to score a goal. I think Celtic will up the ante, and I think they'll have too much for Kilmarnock. But I know what Roger's saying there about, you know, I'll just be a straight swap for Ayer. I would be. Julian worries me a little bit, Gordon. I'm not doubting him as a player. As I say, sometimes you watch him, you think that's a top class player. But other times, you look at him and think, oh, there's a mistake waiting to happen here with him. I wouldn't be surprised if he just goes with Simunovic in there.
Are you dismissing Chris Burke from having another 6 assists tomorrow night?
Yeah, because he's up against better opposition, Roger. Let me say, Chris Burke's been a fabulous football player. He really has.
Suppose the Simunovic thing, he doesn't often play on plastic surfaces. Well, that could in mind.
Yeah, that could be a factor in to Gordon, but at least he's got the options now. Mm. He really has got the options. But I just think with the middle of the park, with that diamond going again, they'll get to know how to play that, because that's not their normal formation. And with the two guys up front, they're getting to know each other, because how many times has Edward and Griffiths played as a partnership? So it's about knowing each other's game as well. And obviously Saturday would have helped. Griffiths getting his goal helps his confidence. Edward's always a threat. I just think if Celtic up the ante tomorrow night, doesn't matter, they'll have too much.
This is an ideal time to get your call in, because we could be speaking to you right next after the travel with Stephen.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I thought I could take this opportunity to congratulate you, Gordon, because I was delighted to turn up at work yesterday and find the studio was still standing after you and the Mushroom were left to your own devices on Thursday evening. I'm hearing horror reports that you took calls on Love Island and other such topics.
We opened up to anybody and we got a good response, and the feedback that we're getting is fantastic. And it's only a matter of time now, Mushroom and the Dazzler for their own show.
Funnily enough, the feedback we've been getting actually was that the Mushroom was the star of the show. I don't know how to break that to you, but a lot of people tell
Mushroom
me that they really liked the way he stood up and took the lead and kept you in your place and really led from the front. That's the feedback I've been hearing.
I'm not having that. No? I had him totally under control. Totally under control, the Mushroom.
Well, speaking as a listener last Thursday night, I don't think Clyde 2's ratings have ever been higher.
It was Roger who texted me to say they're talking about Love Island.
Well, to be fair to us, we weren't talking about. Someone called in, Gordon, and we can only answer what's in front of us.
True, very true.
It was a good chat.
Okay, JP Barnes is on Twitter. He's got the Celtic team all figured out for tomorrow in his mind. He's going 3 at the back. He wants Simunovic, Ayer and Julian all in. He wants Frimpong and Taylor as wing backs. Mm-hmm. He's got Griffiths and Edward up front.
Mm-hmm. Who's the middle back? Who's the left out?
Usual Brown, Rogic and McGregor.
So, and Cham's left out?
Yes.
Interesting.
Like we say, it might all be redundant because Simunovic doesn't tend to play on plastic pitches, certainly not recently. But you never know. We'll tune in at this time tomorrow night and we will have the starting 11s for you. Let's speak to John, who's a Rangers fan, on the line. What are you thinking, John, ahead of the return of the Premiership?
First of all, man, it was like the two Ronnies. Never mind. No,
come on, John, you enjoyed it.
It's kind of funny, Matt Big actually took control.
No, you didn't, John. Don't start that nonsense. You'll get the mute button.
Before I start, I don't know if you know where Adelaide is. Do you know where Adelaide is?
Yeah.
Right. Next to Bath, Gate. I need to call out to a wee guy called David Dockerpay. He stays out in Australia, listens to the show. I've got to give a shout out for my wee mate, Davey. He's out in Australia.
You better shout loud.
Right, that's fine. So, right, first of all, Jim Goodwin. One week he's saying he's going to park a double bus. The second week he deserves a victory on the tap too. Right, it's a bit of contradictory. You know what I mean? What is it? What is it actually his philosophy?
Well, if you're talking about the game tomorrow, John, St Mirren are not going to come to Ibrox, open up, play the way Rangers want them to play and let themselves get ripped apart, are they?
Well, he said it's due a win. He's come out and said it's due a win over the top two. How are you going to get a win if you're not going to come out and open up?
I think, John,
let's be honest.
Come on, John, let's be honest, right? You cannot blame a manager of St Mirren, Jim Goodwin, going to Ibrox and saying, do you know what? For the first 20-25 minutes, we'll get everybody behind the ball. We'll try and make it difficult. That'll be their game plan. He's talking maybe that he fancies more of his chances at home against Rangers or Celtic. But when you go to Ibrox, especially packed house there, the way Rangers are going about their business, the way they move the ball about, the players that they've got, you cannot go head-to-head with them, toe-to-toe with them, open up, because they will pick you off and absolutely destroy you. So he's every right going there and saying, and he's only been honest, and he's doing what everyone else apart from Celtic do, is they come, they park the bus and they try and grab something.
Let's hear a bit from him then, John, since you bring it up. Jim Goodwin says they're coming up against the informed team in the country at Ibrox tomorrow. He says they have played well against the Old Firm this season and they'll give themselves a chance if they get the game plan right.
We thoroughly dominated the game on Saturday in terms of possession and all the stats, shots and corners and everything else. Wednesday is the complete opposite of what we experienced at the weekend. You know, Rangers are a very good team. They're probably the informed team in Scotland at the moment in terms of how they're going about it. Very, very good passing team, good movement. You know, they've got great rotation in the middle of the park, which makes life difficult. And they've got great players in the forward areas. We know Morelos is missing, but then you've got Jermaine Defoe to come in, who's a very, very good replacement. So it'll be a difficult night, but if we put a good game plan in place, like we have done in recent games against both sides of the Old Firm, then I think we'll give ourselves a chance of getting something from the game.
Who are you picking tomorrow, John? Let's terrify the life out of all the other Rangers fans out there. Put you in charge of the team. Who are you picking?
Well, you've only got one change to the last game. The Old Firm game, there's only one change. That's the four for Morelos. Nothing else. You can't change it.
Well, Tavernier won't play. He's injured.
Team. Well, Tavernier, Nathan Parsons, a great player. I seen him against Hetcham, and he stood out like a sore thumb. The same as we've got a good boy just went out to Patrick Thistle from Jonas. He looked a player in the hand, which I think he'll come on tremendous. But that's only two changes you've got. Nobody else. And looking at the future as well, letting the boy Ross McGorry go to Livingston to get first team football with Livingston, we're in a good balance with young players. We have a good mixture of older heads as well. So I look good. The future looks good. And tomorrow, well, if Kent, everybody turns it, then. But it's like Srinath parked the bus against us. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to break down teams. I remember the last time we played, it took a wonder goal, or it was a wonder goal with Barrages to beat them. So I can see for another boring night tomorrow night.
John makes a fair point about the previous St Mirren game. Gordon, the potential problem for St Mirren is that stuff just tends to be easier to do at home, and the pitch is a little bit smaller, and you've got your own surroundings. Doing that at Ibrox is possible, but it's more difficult.
Yeah, I can understand John going along there as a Rangers supporter. He wants entertained. Of course, it's an entertainment business. But St Mirren aren't there to entertain the Rangers fans. They're there to try and fight for their lives, try and get something out of the game. Jim Goodwin's got the game plan. The game plan's quite simple. Get everybody behind the ball. Try and stop the space. Try and stop Rangers coming forward. And try and stop them putting the ball in the back of the net and hope you can grab something at the other end. There's no disgrace in that, Gordon, because you're up against a team that are far, far better than what you are. Better players, better quality. They're at home. They've got nearly 50,000 supporters there. So it is a difficult job going to Ibrox these days. And as I say, once again, the only team for me that can go to Ibrox and get a result is Celtic. And I think it will be very difficult for St Mirren tomorrow night. Where I'm with John and agree with John, I hope John brings Monty's coaching staff. There will be two changes, and it will be the two changes John has mentioned.
John, are you looking for a kit man or a tea lady?
I still don't take him anyway.
Come on, boss. Come on, Gaffer.
Come on, Gaffer.
You can't go down that road, the mushroom.
The big game this week for St Mirren is on Sunday at home to Aberdeen. They've already beaten Aberdeen and Paisley this season, where Ilkay Dourmus scored in a 1-0 early in the season. If they could guarantee doing that again against Aberdeen on Sunday, I don't think they'd be too worried about what happened at Ibrox tomorrow night. It is a free hit for Jim Goodwin's team tomorrow night. Whether he goes gung-ho, which he won't, or whether he parks the bus, which he will, anything St Mirren get tomorrow is a massive bonus. The bigger game for them is Aberdeen on Sunday.
Maybe a few debuts in the St Mirren side as well. It's always good to look for that first fixture. We won't see many. Well, we won't see any for Rangers, and you know, for Celtic, they're sort of few and far between at the moment.
Some of the lads made their debut at the weekend.
League debut
tomorrow night. It will be something of a culture shock having made a debut against Broxburn Athletic. No offence to them. At home, 3-0 in the cup, quite comfortable. And suddenly your second game is Rangers away at Ibrox. A big, big difference. It'll be interesting to see how they cope with that. A lot of the players, you know, lads have come from the Irish leagues, guys have come from playing under 23 down south. This will be probably the biggest night of their careers.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Well, every time you two beat the pundit, it's one of the biggest moments of your careers. So strap yourselves in, because we're going to get another contestant lined up to try and win a signed ball. But to get the ball, you have to get more questions right than Roger Hanna or Gordon DL. If you fancy it tonight and you want to step up to the plate, 0141 951 1025. Don't hang about, because you have to call before 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompsons.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been looking ahead to the return of the Premiership tomorrow. 3 weeks in the making. Some of you will be chomping at the bit to see your team back in action. Celtic heading down to Kilmarnock. We heard from Neil Lennon as they close in on a new midfield signing. We heard from Stephen Gerrard talking about potentially making home advantage count for Rangers over the coming weeks. So if you've got any thoughts on them, you can keep them coming as well. 0141 951 1025. Very, very busy end to the show last night. So many of you trying to get through to discuss gambling and Brian Rice. If you didn't get the chance, we'll give you another quick chance after Beat the Pundit, because we're going to hear from the likes of Stephen Gerrard and Neil Lennon on that very topic. So get your calls in.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Roger Hanna starts on minus one. Gordon DL is here as well. And one of them is just along the road in Clyde. Well, one of them's going to be playing someone who's just along the road in Clydebank. Andrew, how are you tonight?
Yeah, not bad.
Good stuff, Andrew. I love it when we've got a bit of a local derby on our hands, because if Gordon loses the ball, I'll get him to just drop it in on the way home. Does that sound okay? Good man. Imagine him turning up at your door 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, Roger Hanna. That is not
I'm sure it's happened before.
I'm moving swiftly.
No, Clydebank it's not.
Let's toss the coin and find out who is going to be playing. Andrew, heads. It is Roger, tails. It is Gordon. And it's heads. It's Roger minus one.
Good luck, Andrew.
Good luck.
Against Andrew from Clydebank. So I'm going to give Roger something else to listen to, that way he can't hear your answers, Andrew. 30 seconds on the clock. You're going head to head with Roger. The secret is you can pass. So if you don't know it, pass it quickly and move on to the next one, okay?
Okay.
Good man. Your time starts now. Name either side playing in the Scottish Championship tonight.
Ava.
Which Rangers player has moved to Livingston on loan?
Pass.
Who's the captain of Kilmarnock?
Gary Decker.
What is the traditional name of Ross County's home ground?
Dingwall.
What shirt number will what shirt number will Patrick Klamala wear at Celtic?
21.
Where did Greg Docherty start his career?
Kilmarnock.
Okay, let's bring Roger back. Roger, can you hear us?
I can hear you fine, thanks.
Right, same set of questions to you, yes?
Yep.
Name either side playing in the Scottish Championship tonight.
Alloa.
Which Rangers player has moved to Livingston on loan?
Robbie McCrory.
Who is the captain of Kilmarnock?
Gary Dicker.
What is the traditional name of Ross County's home ground?
Victoria Park.
What shirt number will Patrick Klamala wear at Celtic?
11.
Where did Greg Docherty start his career?
Hamilton Accies.
Who was the first club managed by Ian McCall?
Clydebank.
Who is the last Scottish team that Nacho Novo played for?
Wraith.
And name Motherwell's Northern Ireland international goalkeeper?
Trevor Carson.
Okay. Andrew, how are we going to knock this guy off his perch?
I don't know, it's not going to be me anyway.
We're going to need to go minus two, Gordon.
No.
I totally agree.
You'll be here from our legal representative.
I'm going to put in to get Roger my team in the chase when I go in there, because I think we would get a good amount of cash.
What would his nickname be if he was a chaser?
I couldn't say it over the airways.
It's a family show.
Yeah, it's a family show.
Right, let's go through and find out. Name either side playing in the championship tonight. You had the choice of Alloa or Arbroath. So you both got one on the board. The Rangers player who's gone to Livingston on loan is Robbie McCrory. So Roger got it. I'm afraid, Andrew, you did not. So that's you level, essentially, because Roger's on minus one. So you're level going into question three. Who's the captain of Kilmarnock? It's Gary Dicker. You both got that right, so still level. The traditional name of Ross County's home ground, you went for Dingwall, Andrew. Victoria Park is what we were looking for, so Roger goes one in front. He then made it two in front when he suggested that Patrick Klamala will wear number 11. He then went three in front. Greg Docherty started at Hamilton Accies. There is a theme developing. You might have got the next one, Andrew, but you didn't get that far. Ian McCall managed your local team, Clyde Bank. He is human though, because Nacho Novo's last Scottish club was Morton.
Oh, was it?
It was. So I might deduct you 3 points for that one. And Motherwell's Northern Ireland international goalkeeper is Trevor Carson. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 for Roger. Minus one takes him on to 7. And a 2 for you, Andrew. Well and truly beaten, I'm afraid. Hardlines.
Thanks a lot. Cheers, well done, Roger.
Good man, Andrew. And the good news is you won't have Dazzy or door at 9 o'clock.
That's very good news. So that was Andrew in Clyde Bank. Do you know what? I thought Andrew, being a Celtic fan, and he knew Gary Dicker was the captain of Kilmarnock. There were a few nice answers in there. We need to do something for this guy.
People that phone up for Beat the Pundit on a Tuesday and you go, heads, it's you, Roger. They must be deflated.
I'm amazed that more of them don't just hang up, actually.
Exactly.
But I like that because.
Hold on a wee second. When the statistician, was it from Japan?
Oh, yeah, you've
who
lost.
Who emailed in the other week? I was well down the list.
You've lost once in 3 years. I don't think it's worth reminding people of. But I like it, Gordon. I like the belief, because someone out there will come along and knock him off his perch again.
It's going to need a good one. I'm a bit upset for the people that phone, and I think on a Tuesday night we should just dismiss him. Let me play every Tuesday night.
Good idea.
No, because I like it when you watch Roger. You like the way he closes his eyes. He gets in the zone. The focus.
Yeah, I've tried all that. It doesn't work for me.
You just forget where you are. Exactly. If you close your eyes. That won't work for you. Right. 0141 951 1025. Really big story in Scottish football yesterday, and it totally dominated the second half of the show. So I wanted to give you just another chance to get your calls in. A bit of fairness to you guys, because you make the show with the calls, and so many of you didn't get through to discuss Brian Rice last night. So we'll do that for another short time. This is the story which involved him handing himself in, if that's the right expression, to the Scottish FA, opening up about his gambling addiction, which has returned. He speaks of having struggled with the disease for years. It has returned. He accepts any Scottish FA charge that will come his way as a result of this, and one probably will, but of course it's opened up a wider discussion, if you like, on how people deal with these types of things. Alex Ray was very open and honest about his own struggles. We had so many open, honest, inspiring calls coming through last night, I must say, so thank you very much for those. But the fellow managers in the Premiership have been rallying round today, offering some support to Brian Rice. These are the thoughts of Steven Gerrard.
Well, I admire the fact that he's come out and he's been really honest. He's a gentleman, Brian. You know, since I've come up here, he's been fantastic with me. I think he's a man who's been around the game for an awful lot of time, so I've got nothing but respect for him, and I admire the fact that he's come out to try and get help and support, and he's certainly got that from everyone at Rangers, because everyone's got a lot of respect for him. I don't know the answer to that question, whether it's rife or whether it's a major problem, because I don't know what people do in the private time. So it's a very difficult question to answer, but I imagine it's got better. But that's me, obviously, just guessing.
Ben is on the line. Ben's a Hamilton Accies fan from Hamilton. We had some of your fellow Accies fans getting in touch last night, Ben, offering their support for Brian Rice. I'd imagine you're doing the same.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually why I was phoning in, I just wanted to make it quite clear how behind Brian Rice Accies fans are. I listened to what Alex Ray had to say last night, and I commend him for it, and hearing John Hartson speak out about it as well. And I just want to make it clear that Aggies fans are 100% behind Brian, and we hope he gets the help he needs.
Do you think it's the type of thing, Ben, that could have a wider impact, that, you know, maybe if there's a Hamilton fan out there struggling with something similar, the fact that, you know, their manager, the sort of main man at their club, if you like, has held his hands up, is that something that you think could encourage a Hamilton Aki's fan to do?
I think you've kind of seen that already, the support, that not just from Hamilton fans, but obviously I heard Stephen Gerrard, he's came out and supported them, former Aki's players have came out, other clubs have said stuff, and Colin McGowan, who obviously is at Hamilton, is a former addict himself, has came forward and offered any help to MD, who's currently working at Aki's, and I think that's great. I don't think it'll be too long before it starts becoming a thing where people come forward and admit this, and I think Brian Rice coming forward has had a huge part to do with it.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say about this, Ben, I know Hamilton Aki's is a football club very well. I know the people in there very well. He will get great support from Ronnie McDonald, Alan Maitland, for instance, the board.
We had Colin McGowan on last night, yeah, of course. Let me,
and I was going to touch on this guy. I know this guy very, very well. He's a very good friend of mine. And Brian Rice is in the best place possible in a football club with a guy like that beside him, because he will go out his way in every way to help Brian Rice. He's a fantastic guy. He does so much for people that have got problems, Gordon, whether it be gambling, alcohol, drugs, whatever it may be, young kids and everything. Colin McGowan is there, and I am very confident Brian Rice will get every bit of support that he needs to help him through this hard time just now, and it'll come from those guys. Plus, it's great to hear other managers come out and saying, do you know what? We may not have that problem, but we support you in a big, big way. And it's brilliant. It's great news for, I think, for Brian to now look forward and go and fight with the battles he's got to fight.
Yeah, if you're addicted to anything, Daz, what you need is a support structure round about you to help you over that addiction. And Brian Rice, as you say, and I wrote it in the Scottish Sun this morning, is arguably the best club in the country, yeah, for helping them. If you go in, if you get the time, go into the Hamilton Academical website and don't bother getting into the first team results or the youth team results. Have a look at the community project that Hamilton are involved in at the football club. They help people with gambling addictions, with narcotics addictions, with alcohol addictions. They spread it out to people with, you know, problems with homelessness, problems, you know, underprivileged children. They bring them in, they help them. You know, people, I think over the years, people have taken the mickey almost out of Hamilton. You know, there's the big red bus that doubles as a cafe behind one of the goals, and there's that wee fancy garden that Peter Howson did some artwork in that the kids come in and see. And people treat it as if it's, you know, it shouldn't be at a football club. But Hamilton's very much a community football club. They try and help their own folk. And when one of those own folk happens to be the head coach who's going through his own addiction problems, then obviously they will help him. They'll put an arm around his shoulder in his time of need, and they're encouraging the SFA and the SPFL to do likewise.
You're a good man, Ben. Thank you very much for the call. Let's get similar thoughts from Neil Lennon.
It's an addiction. It's a disease, you know, and Brian's had historic problems in the past. I think it's really brave of him to come forward and I'll admit that and look to get some help, so hopefully you can get back on the straight and narrow as quickly as possible. The rules are the rules, you know, and, you know, back in the day I liked to wee bet myself, like, you know, then sort of, not big bets, but it was a bit of fun. But for other people, it becomes a way of life. It becomes a, you know, 24/7 thing, and I think that's what the rules are put in place for. I like to that, you know, don't want any sort of covert operations going on with regard to the betting side of things as well. Brian obviously is an individual, you know, and we know a lot of individuals have addictive problems, whether it be through gambling or other addictions. It's sad, but I think he's strong enough to get through it, and we all wish him from here the very best.
George is in Paisley. What's your take on this, George?
Yeah, how you doing, Gordon? How you doing, panel?
Hi, George.
I totally disagree with everybody that's come on to this show tonight, because they're talking about a football manager who is at the head of a team and he's putting bets on in football. See if a horse racing trainer or a jockey done the same, they're banned for life. It's no different. And it's not what Neil Lennon just suggested there. It's an addiction, it's a disease, it's a choice.
Sure about that, George. I mean, it's an addiction. Brian Rice describes it as being a disease that he's been battling with. I don't think he would choose to have all this hanging over his head. I don't think he would choose to land his club in hot water, would he?
No, but Brian Rice is in a position no different to a trainer or a jockey or anybody else another sport.
Yeah, but that's why he said in the statement that he accepts any Scottish FA charge that comes his way, because there are a few different strands to this, Roger. We're talking about footballers, whether they've got an addiction or not, are not allowed to bet on football.
Yeah.
So that's a sort of separate thing.
I don't think anyone's arguing with that. I found Colin McGowan, Daz's friend, and all of his quotes in the official Hamilton Accies statement yesterday, I found probably most interesting that he's going to write to the SPFL and he wants it brought up with the SFA's Professional Game Board that in future this punishment, if you like, is relaxed in times like this. There's almost an amnesty, if you like, when people self-declare, because Colin McGowan, and I think, you know, the majority of people, not everyone, the majority of people would agree that Brian Rice is in need of help, not punishment. Now, he's going to be punished. He's going to be punished to a greater or a lesser extent. He will miss several games in the dugout, I would imagine. I would imagine as well there will be some type of monetary penalty levied against him or the club for breaching these SFA betting rules over a 5-year period. No one is arguing with that. But I think, and the majority of people have agreed with what Colin McGowan said, that there needs to be a degree of help offered to an addict. Now, he's an addict of gambling as opposed to an addict of drugs or drink. He needs help to overcome something that he struggled with for, I believe, between 35 and 40 years. It has cast a shadow over his life. It's now casting a shadow over his career. And Brian Rice, for me, quite courageously, has come forward and asked for help. I don't know Brian Rice particularly well. I've only in the last year really come across him more as a Premiership manager. Quite like the fella. What has struck me is there's a tremendous pool of goodwill towards Brian Rice from within Scottish football. He's a popular figure in the game, and I think people in the game will unite behind him and hope he can beat these demons.
Where you're right, Roger, is Brian Rice probably could have kept on betting and get away with it. As probably there are footballers out there, Gordon, we know the rules, and I will guarantee there are footballers out there putting coupons on at the weekend, and there's ways to get round about it, and there's ways to do it, and that will happen. It's happened since my day. Neil Lennon said there, a Celtic manager, we're all the same, even to this day. I like on a Saturday put a wee £5 coupon on just to sit and watch the results. But the one thing where Rogers got it bang on is Brian Rice has come out, put his hands up, admitted this and said, I need help. So when that happens, then I think it's only too right that we give the guy as much help and support as we possibly can, because as everybody says here, this is an addiction, this is a disease. He needs help, and I think he should get the help.
Sandra's in Lennoxtown. Anything to add, Sandra?
Hiya. Hi. That's the first time I've called the show, so it's nice to get through. I want to agree with what people are saying about it being an addiction and a disease. And I was listening to the last caller, and he was kind of saying that it's a choice. And it got me really, really angry, because I'm a recovering addict myself. So I've been through addiction problems and came out the other end of it. And I only did it with the support of friends and family. There's no way it was a choice for me. I didn't have a choice. My choice was took away when I was in the midst of my addictions. And I think for this, for the manager, Brian Rice, it's brilliant that everybody's coming out and giving him support, because that's what the guy needs. And it is a disease, it is an illness, and it doesn't matter if it's drugs, alcohol, gambling. There's loads of addictions, and addiction touches everybody. It doesn't matter what walk of life you've came from, whether you've came to a housing scheme or whether you're a manager of a football club. We need support.
If you don't mind... yeah, listen, I think that's very well said, Sandra. If you don't mind me asking, what was the sort of turning point for you then? I keep hearing, and I bow to your experience, you know far more about it than I ever will. What was the sort of moment that your Brian Rice moment, if you like, then, or whether it was the equivalent of speaking out or moving towards turning things around?
Well, it was probably that I had lost everything that I could possibly lose. The only thing I had left to lose was my life. And something like, it's like a light bulb moment, something turned in my head. I couldn't even really tell you what it was. I think it was just I'd lost everything. At that point, I realised either stop what I'm doing and get help, or I'm going to die with this. And that's what I did. And I now work in addictions as well, so I help people as well. So I work with people who have got lots of problems, and I can assure you there's no choice there. Everybody I know that takes drugs or alcohol, takes this, and I've got issues with it, every single person has told me that they don't want to do what they're doing. They want help, they want off it. I didn't, when I was a young girl, grow up and say, oh, I want to be a drug addict. Do you know what I mean? It happened. And now, thank God, I've came out the other end of it. And my life's great. But I just think that for Brian Rice, he needs all the help and support. Mm. And I heard one of the other guys saying about Colin McGowan. No, I've met Colin. And he's a friend of mine. And I know all the work that he does for people. And it's absolutely brilliant. And it's great that Brian Rice is at Hamilton Accies, because I'm sure he will get all the help and support that he's needed. That's needed. And I wish him well for his future.
Is that why it is so important, Sandra, that there are people out there sort of gathering round, giving Brian Rice the support he needs? Because there's another side to it. He probably will be punished for betting on football, which he shouldn't have done. It breaks the rules. He acknowledges that. I think everyone acknowledges that. But there's clearly a bigger picture here, is there not?
Definitely. For me, I had to get myself better and look at the issues that made me do the things that I was doing, and maybe that's what he needs to do as well. Like, once he's come out of the end and he's feeling a wee bit better, like, look at why he's doing that, because there's always underlying issues, I believe, anyway.
I mean, Roger, Sandra is the latest in a line now of callers who've come on and shown incredible honesty and bravery to open up about their own struggles, and every single time I hear a call like that, that just underlines how important this stuff is.
Yeah, and Sandra has lived through addiction. Sandra has spoken there about the help and support that she received, the help and support that she is now giving other addicts, and that's the kind of help and support that Brian Rice now requires. He won't beat this himself. He's going to need a lot of support from his employers at Hamilton Accies. Support, like, you know, from fans like Ben, who phoned earlier on in the show. He's not going to do this all on his own. Fortunately for him, I think there is, as we said, a pull of goodwill toward him from within the game, and that'll help him. And I'll be fascinated to hear what's said. I think his hearing at Hampden is January the 30th, Gordon. I'll be fascinated to see how the SFA treat him, and, you know, if we can hear it, you know, the narrative that comes out of it, and where Brian Rice goes from here.
Sandra, thank you very much. Might be your first call, but you've got a fan club growing on Twitter. John Egan says, nothing but admiration for Sandra. There won't be a caller on Super Scoreboard this year who talks as much sense, says John. Thank you very much to Sandra on the lines. We're going to take a breather, then we're going to put Gordon and Roger to the test. We have a full time teaser which will probably drive them nuts, and we'll give them and you the question next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon Dalziel is here. His Tuesday sidekick, Roger Hannah, is alongside him. Have you come up with his name for the chase yet? No, still can't repeat it.
I can't repeat it. I'll try and get a decent one for him, but I can't repeat the one I've got for him just now.
Do you enjoy the chase and sitting in the recliner?
Oh, beautiful, with my blanket. I've got a new blanket. I like the blanket. Yeah. Thank you very much for the
sources
present.
Tell me it matches the recliner.
It certainly does, yeah. Everything's just blending in lovely, Roger. Beautiful.
You know, they bored me to sleep there with that story. So I think we'll move on to the teaser, because you're going to need to engage your brains on this one. I know you have to do this with all teasers, but I think in particular this one, it's going to require a bit of educated guesswork.
Mm-hmm.
Your old pal John Smith sent it in. You're going to be cursing him after this one. Season 98-99.
Hold on.
He's stuck already.
Right, go.
Season 98-99 saw the first winter break in Scottish football. Can you name the player who scored the first league goal for each side in the SPL?
Ah, catch yourself on.
When it started back.
98-99.
They have to be difficult on a Tuesday, otherwise Roger will get them before half past seven.
We're looking players who are about in January 99 effectively.
There are two parts to it, Gordon, just in case you hadn't gathered yet.
Still a manager then.
Part of the struggle is you're going to have to identify the 10 sides that were in the SPL in 1999. Exactly. And then it's just a bit of educated guesswork, a bit of trying to figure out who might have scored their first goal back after the winter break. I don't expect you to know them off the top of your head. How could you?
Right, Larson wasn't there. It was too early for him.
It wasn't Larson.
No, it was not too early.
Was it Larson?
No, it wasn't Larson. It's not too early for him. It's too early for them.
Thompson.
Mark Viduka.
You're nearly there. He's the only one you've missed out, really.
Oh, no.
Lubo Moravcik. Yeah, Tommy Johnson. Looking right through the card here. Brattback.
Yes.
Brattback.
Harold Brattback. So there were 10 teams. Rangers? There were 10 teams in the SPL.
Who played with Rangers there?
I mean, I'll give you the games. I don't suppose it will matter. Rangers resumed after the very first winter break with a 4-0 win against Dundee. This player got two.
Rod Wallace.
No.
Oh, Defoe was Defoe. Flo was two. Flo
Barry
was
Ferguson.
No.
Oh, we're getting there. Midfield player.
Van Bronckhorst.
Good midfield player scored two that night.
No.
Oh.
Claudio Reyna.
No.
Think closer to home.
Neil McCann.
Even closer to home.
Clydebank. He comes from Clydebank.
No, he doesn't come from Clydebank specifically.
Oh, right. Comes from Motherwell.
Billy Dodds.
He might not be closer than Neil McCann. Please don't take that seriously. He's from about these parts. No.
Glasgow.
Oh, I forget which part of Scotland he's from. I just
Postcode.
He's from.
He's a Scot who played for Rangers in 98-99.
Not a scorer of many goals, I don't think.
Midfield player. Scored two that night.
Barry Nicholson. Ian Ferguson.
No. I can't remember his name.
I think Rangers.
Was he a young boy at the time?
Yes, probably. Now you're making me.
Derek McInnes.
No.
See,
when you speak to former Rangers players from that time, it's always the one that they say, "Ah, what a player he was! He should have gone on to bigger and better things."
Stephen Hughes.
No.
I was just going to say.
I mean, by the way, this guy still had a good career and was a good player, but he's always one that people thought was going to be.
So a Rangers midfielder.
Oh.
Also played
Charlie Miller,
well done. Right, you've got Brattback and Miller. This is going to be a struggle, so I'll leave you to it for a bit. Let's speak to Patrick in Livingston. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
See, obviously, one on the bright lights thing with the gambling. Obviously, it's an addiction. I don't think it's as big an addiction as drugs and alcohol in people's eyes. Because it's only really getting as bad just now, recently, because it's that easy to gamble now. You can gamble for your computer, you can gamble for your phone, for your at any time of day. So you can wake up, be bored, gamble, and spend hundreds and hundreds of money without even realising it. So the government starting to see it now, I think, is a problem. That's why there's been a cap on all these machines that you can gamble on in the bookies and that. Mm-hmm. There's bookies and services and everything. So, I do a lot of work in Europe and that. A lot of countries in Europe have banned gambling for your phone. You can't go onto the websites to gamble. Pay the phones. They don't have as many bookies. I know it's a profit company, but why do we need so many bookies? Why do we need so many apps? If you go on social media, you can scroll through Facebook for 5 minutes and you'll get a bunch of adverts popping up. Deposit £50 and you'll get £20 in free bets. That attracts more people. And I think that's going to help to the problem for
other folk. Well, yeah, it shows you the breadth of the discussion, Roger. This is not a Scottish football thing. This is not something we're going to nail by tweaking one or two things. As Patrick says, I mean, it's everywhere.
And listen, all the points Patrick made are perfectly valid points. I think it's important we don't demonise bookmakers. You know, the vast, vast majority of people who place bets on football or place bets on horse racing or the golf or the tennis or the rugby or whatever, they do so, they enjoy it, they set their own limits, sometimes they win, sometimes they lose, and they get on with it. There are problems with gambling addiction. that has loomed into focus with Brian Rice's confession in the last 24 hours. Patrick's maybe right. Maybe the government do need to step up the regulation of the betting industry. But I think it's important that, you know, when we're having these discussions, that the bookies don't suddenly become the bad guys, because, you know, I don't think they really are the bad guys.
Thank you very much to Patrick in Livingston offering his thoughts. Chris W wants to know, should Brian Rice be a watershed moment for Scottish football? He's done a brave and honest thing. Should the SPFL wide amnesty be considered to allow others with similar problems to come forward without threat of sanctions? Roger, Gordon, any thoughts?
It's
a very difficult one, isn't it? Because clearly, if people are struggling, they deserve all the help that anyone can offer them. There are quite simple rules, though, for everyone else to say, if you're a football official, just, you know, you can't bet on football.
Yeah, but the one thing I like about Brian Rice, Gordon, it must have taken a lot, because if you've got a problem, you get an addiction, and you are in the so-called public eye, I think it must take so much bravery to turn around and say, do you know what, I need help, hold my hands up. Now, the one thing I like about Brian Rice is he's come out, and it may help others. It may help others, and it probably will, and I hope it does. But he's come out, he's put his hands up, but he's not shied away and said, look, I've got this disease, I've got this addiction.
So don't punish me.
I want everybody to go easy on me. I want everybody to feel sorry for me. I don't think that's the case. I think it's a cry for help. I think it was the right thing. He'll get the help. He's got great guys round about him. But he knows within himself, as a football guy, because he's a true football guy, he knows that he's broken the rules, and he's prepared to take his punishment.
I don't think the argument is whether or not Brian Rice should be punished for this. I think everyone accepts that Brian Rice will be punished for this, and Brian Rice accepts it, and Colin McGowan accepts it. The point Colin McGowan was making yesterday was that if there was to be an amnesty, even just in the short term, that
for a defined period.
Yeah, which would allow maybe players, maybe coaches, maybe directors of football clubs to step forward and do what Brian Rice did yesterday, admit to gambling issues, then they could do so in this amnesty without fear of being punished, without fear of being fined or banned. And it might open up a whole debate. It might surprise you how many people do gamble in the football when they shouldn't, Gordon. And I think that's his point. He wants this out, you know, he doesn't want any more secret betting. He wants this to be all out in the open and allow people to discuss it without fear of punishment.
Okay, let's go back to the football tomorrow evening, because we've got a fantastic card to look forward to. Alex Dyer says 3 points are just as crucial to Kilmarnock as they are to Celtic. He says he's got no interest in Celtic's title pursuit because Kelly have their own goals to achieve.
It's us against Celtic, it's another team. We have to do our best and try and win as much games as we can here. You know, I'm not really too fussed whether it's a title race between them two. It's just more about Kilmarnock and trying to get a result.
Is your message, Alex, that the 3 points are just as important to Kilmarnock as they are to Celtic? 100%.
They've got their own agenda, and so have we. You know, obviously they're going for the title, and we're going trying to get back in the top six. So we both have targets. You know, it's all about trying to win the game. The title race is nothing to do with me or Kilmarnock. It's to do with this football club trying to finish the season as high as possible. And if that means beating Celtic tomorrow, then all be well, you know. It's not about me trying to dent their hopes of winning the, you know. I don't come into it. It's just about Kilmarnock and trying to get 3 points.
What size of challenge do Kilmarnock pose to Celtic tomorrow? They restarted their campaign with a 6-0 win against Queen's Park in the Scottish Cup. Very convincing. They had guys like Stuart Finlay back in, which made a difference. Chris Burke obviously providing the 6th assists, which was just incredible. Prior to the break, Gordon, they lost 5 in a row. They drew the 2 before that, and they finished the year on a horrendous run. Whether they have bounced back or not is difficult to tell, because Queen's Park are obviously lower league opposition. How much of an obstacle is it for Celtic going there?
It's always going to be hard going to Rugby Park, Gordon, no matter what form they're in, because, you know, Kilmarnock will get a lift. There'll be a decent crowd there. First game back. Yes, I wouldn't look too much into the weekend's result. No disrespect to Queen's Park. I was expecting Kilmarnock to win that at home comfortably, probably not 6. So, you know, they'll take confidence out of scoring 6 goals. But I think Celtic will go down there, you know, and I think that with the pressure that they're on, they're under just to get results now, because I fully expect Rangers to get a result at Ibrox. I think Celtic will up the ante a little bit, as I said earlier. And I think when they do that, with the quality they've got, especially middle to front, I think they will have far too much for Kilmarnock. And if they score early, I think they will ease through that game tomorrow night.
The flip side of that though, Daz, is if they don't score early,
yeah,
the pressure begins to build. Remember last season, I think Scott Brown scored in something like the 93rd minute and then got a second yellow card for celebrating behind the goal. Kilmarnock have the ability to make it awkward for teams there. They made it awkward for Rangers at this time last year, made it awkward for Celtic. Remember a few years ago, Robbie Keane's debut down there, Chris Maguire scored. They have a history of just tripping up the Old Firm when maybe when you least expect it. So Celtic, I agree with Daz, I think Celtic will win, but I think they might need to tread warily, and I think they might need to be patient.
If you want to hear your teaser used on the show in the future, the address you need to send it into is fulltime@clyde1.com. John sent this one in. It is really tough. It requires a bit of calculated guessing, but that's fine. We're looking for the first player to score for each team in the SPL after the very first winter break in the 98-99 season. So you just go through the team. Celtic, you've already got Harold Bratt back. You've got Rangers, which was Charlie Miller.
You I can't even think of Motherwell.
You can't even think which teams were in the SPL at that time.
I really don't.
Could Motherwell be Lee McCullough?
Oh, it was. Well done. Was it really? Straight in, 2-0 against Hearts.
Right, okay, I'll keep you going. Come on, look.
Who would Hearts' first goal scorer be? Stephen Adam?
No.
Colin Cameron?
No. The other one. The other one, the hero boy. What do you call him? What do you call him?
The hero
Batman.
Boy.
Batman.
The boy that was in Team of the Decade.
What
was he still there?
Are you going to guess Rudy, are you guessing Rudy Scatchell from 98?
We're back into decade thing again, Daz.
Are you serious? You think Rudy Scatchell played for Hearts in 98-99?
What about Darren Jackson? Juanjo?
I feel like you are close though. This guy was a goal scorer, striker.
Wee John Robertson?
Nope. Richie.
Jim Hamilton.
Can't believe you've not got this one yet.
We've had the post with
formerly
this.
Played with the Rangers. Also played for Kilmarnock.
Kevin Cowell.
1998-99
season. I've no idea who played
Gary
in
Gary McSwiggan.
Yes.
Gary McSwiggan.
You've got Bratback, McSwiggan, McCulloch, Miller. One more guess.
What about Aberdeen? Could it be Ian Jess?
It wasn't. We'll get the rest of them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon Dell and Roger Hanna are on the final stretch on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What that means is that they're trying to work their way through the full time teaser. That's something we always have just ticking along in the background towards the end of the show, and you are critical to it. You're the one that provides the question. So if you want to hear your question on the show, send them in, please. Fulltime@clyde1.com. This one's murder. There's no point in dressing up. It's absolutely brutal. But sometimes we need that. We need to test you. Since the season 98-99 saw the very first winter break in Scottish football. Name the player who scored the first league goal for each of the SPL sides after that break. Not as hard as it sounds once you get going, because you've got Harold Bratt back at Celtic, Charlie Miller at Rangers, Lee McCulloch at Motherwell, Gary McSwiggan at Hearts. So you're actually nearly halfway there.
Who are we going? What team next? Pick a team. If I get the teams, I'll be delighted. St Johnston.
Right, St Johnston were in it. I'll give you a clue on St Johnston.
George O'Boyle.
No, I'll give you a clue because not a regular goal scorer, but it was a penalty, so.
Oh, defender. Alec Cleland.
No.
Gary Bowling.
Yes.
Yes!
Gary Bowling.
Yes!
You're off and running now.
Halfway there.
With a goal with Ian Jess. What about Noel Whelan?
No, but I think you're closing in on this one. He was a good career, scored decent goals. This guy had a good career down south, so I think you're going to get this.
Down south, Mike Newell.
Yes.
Roger.
Well done.
This is easy.
What about Kelly? Paul Wright.
No.
Coisty.
Too obvious, I'm afraid.
Jim McIntyre.
No. Still too obvious, actually.
What possession?
I think he was a midfielder, but played a lot for Kilmarnock, this guy.
Gary Holt.
No. Were you not the air manager at this time?
Yes.
This would be your great rivals.
Alan Mahood. Is it Alan Mahood?
It is.
Yes.
I cannot believe you are producing some of these. You've got three to get. No, you've got three to get. Plenty of time to do so. We do have that one game in the Championship tonight, as you heard on Beat the Pundit a bit earlier on. What else is tickling your fancy tomorrow? As you would expect, this is Glasgow in the West. We've focused quite heavily on Celtic's trip to Kilmarnock, Rangers' home game with St Mirren. What else jumps out at you tomorrow, Roger?
Well, what about third against fourth? Motherwell going up to Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. Stephen Robinson, I think, is, you know, we spoke about Jim Goodwin parking the bus. There's no chance of Motherwell doing that. I think Stephen Robinson's fancies that Motherwell can take on Aberdeen, even in their own patch. They were very good. We spoke earlier on about the teams who struggled coming out of the winter break. You couldn't take Motherwell into that bracket. They went to Dundee, team in the top half of the Championship, and they battered them with a hat-trick from Christopher Long. Could have been even more. They were arguably one of the more impressive Premiership teams at the weekend. Aberdeen stumbled and stuttered and sort of staggered over the line against Dumbarton. So it'll be a very interesting game up there, and you could see it's a game that could go either way.
Gordon, Christopher Long proving to be a real integral part of what Motherwell are doing at the moment. Stephen Robinson speaking today about hoping to extend his stay. Devante Cole is leaving, so there will be another striker. Well, has left, I think. Another striker will be brought in anyway. But how important might Christopher Long be to Motherwell in the second half of the season as they look to try and secure that top six spot, European spot, whatever it may be?
You usually look at a guy that can score goals and they're individuals. They do their own thing when it comes into the 18-yard box. You look at Defoe, for instance, he comes alive. Long, for me, is a team player. He'll do the runs that strikers don't like into the corners. He'll chase lost balls. He goes for everything. And he got a terrific hat-trick. Okay, he got a little bit of luck with the first one. Wee bit of deflection, Roger.
A bit of luck with the third one.
Yeah, but you need a bit of luck in this game. But, you know, a hat-trick will do him the world of good. Good confidence.
Can Motherwell keep him beyond the season? You know, they're trying to do a lot of forward planning work. If you like, Trevor Carson signed a new deal. Liam Grimshaw signed a new deal. Is it important? How important is he to Motherwell to keep him into next season?
I think he is important because I do. Look, he's not going to be a natural, what you call, goal scorer. I think he's a team player. I think he's a terrific team player. I think he does his job. I think if you're a midfield player or a wide guy, you'll appreciate what this boy does up front. I would never go and do the run to you. Never in a million years. I've never been in the corners of the pitch where he's been. I'll tell you what I'm delighted with. We were talking about, you come up with a great question just a couple of weeks ago about who would you like to see getting more game time. Scott was in the
James Scott, yeah. You said, I remember it well.
I'll tell you what, that boy's got a terrific future.
I'm interested, you're saying a striker. Is Michael Njoli not the direct replacement for Devante Cole? Or do you expect someone else to come in?
No, I think that
I think there was still one
you
more.
Think so, Gordon?
I'm trying to think back to everything Stephen Robinson said this morning. I'm pretty sure there was still a suggestion of one more. I will double check. The other thing would be this morning's suggestions that Liam Donnelly could be on Celtic's radar. Stephen Robinson moved quickly, though, I think, to at the moment just dismiss it as being sort of rumour mill, paper talk, whatever it was. Whether there's specific truth in that or not, Gordon, would you be expecting him to get attention?
Not at Celtic level, no. Especially with Celtic bringing in another midfield player. Where are they going to play? How many midfield players do they need?
If there's a Motherwell player heading that way, I would imagine it would be David Turnbull once he's fit.
Yeah. I just think that Motherwell just now, see tomorrow's night's game, usually you would look at that and think, well, this has got to be a real, and a point would be a terrific result. A point would probably be a good result, Gordon. But I think that Motherwell have got the belief with the players and how they're going about their business that they can go to Pittodrie and get 3 points. Never mind just one. I think that'll be a cracking game tomorrow night.
Big night for Hamilton as well. We've focused in the last 48 hours on the trials and tribulations of the manager. But Hamilton are second bottom. They're in that relegation playoff place at the minute. They finished before the split with a terrific win away at Motherwell. Don't need to tell you two gentlemen that. But going to Hibs it'll be a hard ask for them, I think. Hibs have got defensive problems. No Porteous, no Naismith. Bad injuries. Could Hamilton get something there, Daz?
Against Hibs, probably could. You know, they started well against Dundee United in the Cup, and I thought they were going to cruise into the draw. And all credit to Dundee United, that man Shanklin scores at a perfect time for them. And you know, they get a good replay. So Hamilton, we'll go there with a bit of confidence. I think a point would be a great result for them there. But I just fancy home advantage tomorrow night, Roger. I fancy Hibs to win that one. But I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a difficult game for Hibs.
You two still are looking for three players who scored the first goal for their respective SPL side after the first ever winter break, 98-99. You've got Dundee, Dundee United and Dunfermline to go. So
could
I don't mind
Dundee
telling you that.
Dundee be Gavin Rae?
No.
Oh, great shout.
Is it one of the players that Benetti brought in?
No.
No. Wally Faulkner?
Nope.
Is he a centre forward? Don't know.
Oh,
winger,
I can't remember.
Winger centre forward?
I might have to just give you some clues. I think right, this is proving a really tough question.
Lee Wilkie?
Nope.
Great effort.
Do the initials, do the old Hugh Keevan's favourite clue, the initials, ST.
Stephen Thompson.
Stephen Tweed, big centre half.
Stephen Tweed, there we go. Right, the Dunfermline one.
Oh, Dunfermline.
Probably best known for
get Stephen Milbank
scoring goals for Airdrie.
Andy Smith.
Yes.
Ah, oh, beautiful.
And the Dundee United one, let's just give
Mushroom
up.
Michelle Olofsson.
Is this Will?
Is it?
It genuinely is.
No. Is it?
I was honestly just going to say call that quits because there's no chance you'll
I've
get it.
I've never heard of him.
Oh, you must have. Michelle Olofsson scored loads of goals for Dundee United.
It is. Yeah.
I've never heard of him.
Yes,
never
you,
no,
you,
no,
you,
no,
you've probably had a team playing against him in one of those cup ties.
We put them out of the cup, but he didn't play.
I'm sure they did.
I'm sure we didn't.
That's us. We are done, I'm afraid, on Tuesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thank you to Roger Hanna and Gordon DL for joining me, Gordon Duncan. Make sure you join us tomorrow. What a night. 3 weeks in the making. The Premiership is back. Every single team involved. Cannot wait. Make sure you join us. Callum Gallagher is up next. He'll look after you.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.